Okay, we'll get started. Good morning.
Good morning.
As always, when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on. What? Open up your hearts. Open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it. And then don't forget, when we leave, apply it. Right? Let's up. Today is 10-11-2020. We're at Faith Bible Church, Adult Sunday School. And you know, I'm not Dave. I didn't stay in the steam room and shrink down. So Dave had, I guess, a little cold, and his voice was, he wasn't sure if it would hold out. So Pastor knows I got a big mouth. So we'll open up in prayer, and we'll jump right in the Word. What I'm going to be teaching on is rejoicing. That's a good subject, isn't it? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another day of grace. Oh, yeah. We look so forward to Christ coming and us going to meet Him in the clouds, take us to heaven, and where we'll receive our rewards for faithful service here for what Christ did to us. But until then, I thank you that you're long-suffering, you're holding back your wrath right now, that more can come into the body of Christ, be saved. And so I pray this message this morning, Father, and I pray for when the pastor will preach later, that it will build up the body of Christ, edify, challenge us, equip us. And if there's anyone unsaved that will be here this morning, or when the pastor preaches, or through the videos or audios, I pray that you would reach them with the wonderful gospel of salvation in Christ, by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone. In Jesus' name I pray, man. So,
Paul, is the mic on?
It's
got nothing out here.
This?
Yeah, the red light is on.
It's on?
Okay. Something out there must not be plugged in.
Okay. Let's go to Colossians 2:13. And while you're going there, Colossians 2:13, I want to ask, and then you could say this out loud. This way it might help you wake up a little bit. It's early, right? What are you thankful for today? Just name one thing. This way we won't keep going on it. But tell me one thing you're thankful for today.
Family. That's right.
Family?
You.
Friends.
Friends? Okay. You know, actually, if you think about it, we could be here all day. Right? There's so much to be thankful for. I mean, just think of Ephesians 1:3. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, right? Just that. We have eternal life. God's working out things for our good. So much to be thankful for. Colossians 2:13. Is this something to be thankful for? And you being dead in your sins. We're spiritually dead. We were born that way in Adam. Take my earpiece out here. And the uncircumcision of your flesh. So we were in Adam. We weren't cut out of Adam. But then what did God do? Has He quickened or made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses? That's a lot to be thankful for. I mean, some people are not as sensitive to their personal sins as others. You know, Martin Luther, my old pastor used to say that, Jim Kirkwood, that he was going to write a letter, a book about Martin Luther and give grace truths. Monks under monks. Because Martin Luther was so sensitive about his sins that he would go to confession for 45 minutes, go back to whatever, he's a monk, so wherever they go. Then he would think up some more and go back. And then the priest would be like, oh no, here comes Martin again. And then other people aren't so sensitive to our personal sins. I think somewhat I am, personally, because I realize every day I come up short. Where'd Bill go?
I'm Bill.
You missed it, Bill. It's always mess with me about being short, right? So, remember when the woman came to Christ and Christ forgave her? And he says, those who are forgiven for a lot, love a lot, right? I think you appreciate it more when we realize how undeserving, you know, even as believers, you know, now God sees you in Christ, totally justified, totally righteous, right? But that's in our identity in Christ, right? But in our daily walk, our experience, we're not always walking consistent with that. So I'm so thankful where it says, having forgiven you all trespasses, God's never going to punish us. He'll discipline us. What is discipline? Training. How does he do that? All scripture, right, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, right? So training or discipline, God uses the word of God. He reminds us who we are in Christ. You know, it's like a mirror, and you look, and you see this beautiful butterfly, right? And it's almost like God saying, well, what do you see? Beautiful butterfly, new creation. And he says, what are you acting like? Old, hairy caterpillar? That ain't you no more. Yeah, and that's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you say, yeah, what? You know, none of us don't like to be thought of as stupid, right? I don't like. People insult me if they underestimate my intelligence. But a lot of times we act stupid. You know, we know better. But so thank God, you know. And I'm not saying because we're forgiven, just go and, you know, do whatever your flesh wants. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, if not for the grace of God, where would we be? I lose my salvation. You know? So that's one thing to be thankful for today. Go to Psalms 42:5. Psalms chapter 42, verse 5. You know, there's some right churches that understand right division, and they don't. They almost think you should only stay in Paul's epistles, but that's not true because all scripture is profitable, right? All scriptures for our learning. There's principles that are transdispensational. They don't change in different dispensations. Like being thankful. God wanted Israel to be thankful, and God wants the body of Christ to be thankful, right? So, Psalms 42:5. So we can learn from the books outside of Paul's epistles, right? But you better know how to rightly divide that word, because don't try and claim promises back there or in the future. Or actually, I'm doing on Facebook on the Thursday nights. I'm teaching through the book of Colossians verse by verse, but I jumped off at Colossians 4:2 about prayer. And it's so important in our lives and thanksgiving. That's part of prayer. Should always have thanks in it. Psalms 42:5. Verse 5, I'm sorry. It's one thing to know the Word of God, and it's another thing to apply it, right, to the details of our lives. That's when you grow. Okay, you depend upon Christ in you, not in your own strength. But what does Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, look at here. David is like almost talking to himself here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? David was down. And you know, it's not abnormal for a Christian to get down sometimes. You know, when you go to the more in faith churches, say, your life should just be all hunky-dory and apple pie, right? But life ain't always like that, right? People die. We get sick. People disappoint us. We disappoint ourselves. That's life in a fallen world. But when things happen, we don't have to live under our circumstances. We can live above our circumstances. Not what happens. How do we respond to what happens? What doesn't Paul tell us? Take every thought captive. That's what David's doing here. Look, the psalmist, I'm sorry. Why art thou cast Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? He was anxious. What does Paul say about anxious? Be anxious for none. So what do? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests be made known to God. And you notice there was thanksgiving in that verse? And supplication means be specific. So whatever you're facing, bring it to the Lord. And this is what David is reminding himself here. He's telling his soul, Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. So now, first he takes it off captive. He reminds himself of God's faithfulness, right? How many things has God brought you through? Think about it in your life. Yeah, and we have to remind ourselves when we're facing some and seems like there's no hope, none's going to change, you know, that God's always been faithful to bring us through, right? And what he began in you, he's going to finish. So he says, so now he takes it to the Father. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. So he's being honest with God, right? He's not saying, oh, I just praising the Lord and I got the joy of the Lord. Right now, he wasn't experiencing that. But what happened is he changed. What's repentance? A mind change. He changed his thinking. He was focused on this problem, whatever, you know, I didn't go to the whole context here. But he's focused on the problem, so he gets down. See what we can learn here? Because we can, same thing. The Bible is very honest, isn't it, the Word of God? It doesn't hide David and act like he's this, you know, king of Israel that never did none wrong. The Bible is real. You know, it will equip you for life in the real world. And he says, therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. So, again, in context, this is David. It's in the Old Testament, right? He's under law. But look what he's doing. Right where he's at, he starts focusing on God. And he reminds himself. He takes his dim thoughts captive. And so we have to remind ourselves to do these things. See, that's why I ask people sometimes, why do you come to church? Is it to say, I'm a good person. Like my mom. Jehovah's Witnesses, I think I told you before, would come to our door, you know, and she'd answer. And my mom was lazy when it come to studying the Word. So she couldn't, you know, it was me. I'd invite them in, you know, well, let's discuss the Word, you know. But then they kind of wanted to get their briefcase and run out the door. But my mom would go, oh, no, honey, we're a good Christian family. And she's funny, cute, you know. Probably remind you of maybe some of your moms or grandmas. But, I'm trying to think why I was even going there. See, I need another cup of coffee. But anyway. I'll come back to it. Go to Proverbs. Well, I'll just read it just for time. For your notes, Proverbs 15:15. He that has a merry heart has a continual feast. I like that verse. A merry heart is what? One that's rejoicing, right? It's like a continual feast. You're feasting on life. Yeah. You're focused on spiritual life. Because all this is going to pass, right? All this garbage going on in the world, it's going to pass. Christ could come back today. So let me ask you, if he came back today, would it matter even who won the election? No, not to us. We'll be, you know, now it's important to vote, don't get me wrong in that. But I'm not going to get into about election and politics. But what I'm saying, other things going on. If we left today, this all behind. So what's the most important thing we can do while we're here? Redeem the time, right? Amen. Buy it up. use it to reach out to the lost, to edify the saved, right? Praise God. I'll say amen.
Amen.
Go to Isaiah 26:3, just to the right of Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, Isaiah. Isaiah 26:3, verse 3. I actually have this verse memorized because I want to remind myself. Thou will keep him in perfect peace if what? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. This is transdispensational. If you're focused on God, you're going to have peace, you're going to have joy, because what is that? A fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, and on. Yeah, so we have to remind ourselves when, you know, we're in a spiritual battle. Satan is the great distractor. Get our minds on everything, what's going on. Yeah, he'll use circumstances, produce fear in us. You know, maybe use our pride to, you know, well, these people like me, so I don't know about sharing the gospel, because they're going to think I'm a Jesus freak. Yeah, he'll use all them things. And so that's part of the battle. Here's where the battle is, right up here in the mind. I mentioned it before. There's a whole doctrine of thinking in the Word of God. Just sometime do a Bible study on your own. On thinking, thoughts. Let's go to, now we're jumping up to Paul. 2 Corinthians 6:4-10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. If you get this idea, like I said, the TV preachers, that if you got faith, your life, you're going to have money. Yeah, of course, you give it to their ministry. Send that faith seed. God will give you that hundredfold, right? Or the idea is your best life now. You ever hear of that book? Your best life now, Mr. Joelstein. Yeah, it's well. If you think life's going to be like that, what happens when it don't happen? Because they use verses out of context. False teachers do that all the time. Cults do it all the time, right? You take a verse out of its context, it becomes a pretext, or the text becomes a con. You know, and they con people out of money all the time on TV. You know, but God wants us to see life in the reality it is. You know, we're His children, and when under law, Israel, when they were obeying God, God would put a fence of protection around them. You ever hear people praying that? God put a fence of protection around my family. This is grace. Now, under grace, we can do all things through Christ. So we don't got to worry, what if this happens, what if that happens? Because most of the things we worry about don't even happen, if you think about it. You know? Mary had a friend. She really loved her. Lady from another country she worked with. And she had cancer, honey. And she went to a church where they taught that. You pray a fence around her. She would drive around her house, by her house sometimes, and praying that. And she didn't know why she died. It's in the Bible, isn't it? It's in the Old Testament. But out of context, they were teaching it. Thank God. You know, we celebrate the pastor's birthday today, right? For a pastor. And I love that he goes verse by verse by verse through the books, and then he'll jump off to a topical sometime. But that he, I know he has a heart like I do to be honest with this word. You know, it's an awesome responsibility to teach the word. You know, and sometime when I think about me, and I got to do, you know, get this right, make sure I'm then I get anxious, but then I always remember, Lord, it ain't me that's going to do anything, it's your spirit in me, so let Christ express himself through me. And then, see, it throws the focus from you on God. You know? So let's look at Paul, some things. Now, Paul was a man of faith, wasn't he? He was such a man of faith. What we're going to read, this didn't stop him. You know, and Paul is our pattern for salvation, right? What do you say? 1 Timothy 15, I think, or chapter 1, around 15. I think it's in the first chapter that he was saved as a pattern, right, for those who would believe thereafter. Well, Paul's our pattern for salvation. He's saved completely by grace. He was the worst enemy, the chief of sinners, he said. He was in the lead of everybody attacking God's kingdom church, right? And he was saved completely by grace. But Paul also is our pattern because he doesn't just talk about things. You see him living them out. Though Paul sure wasn't perfect, and he realized that, he says, not that I'm already there, right? That I'm perfect. And I'm glad, see, he's honest. Because if you're fake with people, and like you act like, oh, I never sin, or I never struggle with sin, they can't relate to you, unsaved people. How are they going to relate to a perfect saint? But when they see you struggle, but they see something in you, there's a strength. Remember when you, my brother, when you used to come to the hospital and visit me? Twain came quite a few times, and Bill used to come. I didn't sit there crying about stuff. I wanted to buy up that opportunity. God used my situation. Like if, say, I used to say, God, it wouldn't be a bad way to die, cancer. Say what? All right, let's get him out. Let's get him out of here now, because I think he's a little nuts, right? Because I thought it gives you time to use your situation as a testimony. Like if you just, boom, you're gone. Ain't got much time, You die with a smile. But let's look at Paul. Nothing stopped this guy. And nothing can stop us if we'll depend on Christ in us. Amen. But in all these things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, listen to this, in afflictions, this don't sound like my best life now, in necessities, in distresses, that's anxiety sometimes. Paul, you know, when you're facing death, you got a mob that bricked you. You know, that's, you can get kind of anxious. I mean, that's just natural, right? It's a response. But here's the problem. When you have a lot of fears, okay, it's not abnormal for a Christian to have fears. Paul wouldn't have to tell us, don't be anxious. Why? Because we get anxious sometimes, right? But, you know, me and Mary are taking, look at what she's doing to me. Next martial arts class. Trying to get me to do dishes now. You learn something that's called fight or flight. It's a defense mechanism your brain uses with your body. It's like if there's a danger, it shoots this adrenaline through your body, and that helps you either to run, flee, or fight. You know, and it's good for that. You ever hear of a mother that lifted a car up off a child or something? You know, wild stories like that. That's that adrenaline rush. But it's a good thing. God gave it to us. But when you're worrying about things that you don't even know the future, you're giving, these chemicals are going through your body, and stress is not good in long periods. Stress can kill you. It can cause other, you know, health problems and things, you know. So let's keep going here. Verse 5, in stripes and imprisonments, in tumults and labors, and watchings and fastings. So Paul, he didn't have food. By pureness, at times. By pureness, how did he deal with this stuff? If you, this ain't exhaustible, look, read the perils of Paul, all the things he faced. How did he do it? Same way we can. Listen to what he said. By pureness, by knowledge. You got to know some things. How many times does Paul say, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren? By knowledge, by long-suffering or patience, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit gives us strength, right? To go through things. It's the Spirit of Christ in us when we depend on Him. And we have to take what's true inwardly. Okay, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's just take that. And you appropriate by faith, and the Holy Spirit makes it real in our experience. But it's us that has to appropriate it by faith. Now we can choose, keep worrying, right? Some people like to worry. My mom did. She didn't have something to worry about. She's worried she didn't have nothing to worry about. I think my wife's a little like her at times. And we balance each other out, you know. Like sometime Mary will, she could be a little hypochondriac. And I tell her, watch out, honey, you're going, you're rolling. You know, and then she'll tell me things like when my uncle was in, he has Alzheimer's and he's the later stages. It's difficult when they don't remember you. But we remembered him. He didn't change inwardly. He's the same person. You know, it's just their brains ain't functioning right. But she would say, because I'd go visit them, but it was difficult. But she'd say, don't you think maybe we should go visit your uncle again? And it's like, you don't feel like it. Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, you're right, honey. And then I'm glad she said it the last time, because that was the last time we saw him. Yeah. So we balance each other out. As long as she gets a crack once a week, she's fine. Y'all know I'm joking. All right. If you notice in verse 7, by the word of truth, what's that bring to your mind? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So, by the word of truth, by the power of God. You know what that is? Resurrection life in you. I ain't got time. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 towards the end and see what the Holy Spirit through Paul talks about the power of the resurrection in us. That's what he wanted to know, right? He wanted to be more intimate and more consistent. He says, I want to know him. Not just know facts about him only. I want to know him intimately in the power of his resurrection. He says, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We have the armor of God, right? But who got to put it on? Yeah. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, but you put on the armor. That's appropriating by faith, right? When you're going through things. And you know, I think sometimes we don't realize what a battle we're in, especially grace believers. Satan hates grace with the viciousness. He hates the mystery that was given to Paul that we understand, right? His unique ministry. All right. God kept a secret that where Satan went and destroyed himself. He carried out God's will. He thought if he could stop Christ from being Israel's king and their Messiah, that'd be it for them. He had no idea. Not only now through his resurrection, God's going to bless Israel in the future, right? But through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have that in common. God's forming the body of Christ. Because of that, he brings in the dispensation of grace we live in. Because of that, we're going to serve God in heavenly places, ruling over angels. That's governing angels. I mean, so much. So he hates us. You got a mark, a target on your back. then we forget about it. You know, we don't, in the morning, think, I need to put that armor on throughout, you know, and keep it on throughout the day. Or actually, I did a study on that, and some of that is on all the time. Some is right by the soldier, so he can pick it up real quick. Because, you know, and when you're in a war, something can happen anytime, right? So we just need, you know, it's not something like, oh no, it's Satan around that bush. Listen, anoint it with oil, anoint our windows of our houses, anoint our cars, and then they don't put it in the car and the car don't work. Yeah, but it's not being paranoid, it's being aware. Paul said that let's not be ignorant of his devices, that's methods, his wiles. So you're aware of them, and then sometime, you know, we don't realize them doubting darts, Mary calls them, them flaming darts that Satan throws, we're not realizing it's from him. Sometime we're thinking that up, and sometime it is our flesh, you know. But so we need to have that armor on and also take them thoughts captive, right? That's why I said what we think about is very important, because our desires, our emotions are going to respond to our thoughts. You know, godly thoughts, healthy, sound grace doctrine, healthy walk. Garbage in, garbage out, right? We can't do nothing about the world. Satan's got a course for this world, right? It's like an AM/FM radio. You can't do none. They're both there. But you can turn on, decide which channel you want to turn on through, right? And he says in 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. And I guarantee you, if you're teaching grace, you're going to be accused, especially of mid-Acts, Pauline, rightly dividing biblical view. You're going to get attacked, and you know, mostly by who? People in the church, in the denominations. Satan's going to, you know, he uses people like puppets, but they're not our enemies. Flesh and blood is not our enemies, right? So we don't want to think of that. Instead of wanting to get them back, pray for them. And then be always ready to give an answer for the hope within you, right? What's Paul say? Be ready in season and out. Like the pastor called me, text me. So I didn't see it till late Friday night. Can you fill in for Dave? Because he knows I stay in the Word, and you know, I'm like anybody else. I could slack up at times, but then I realize I feel different. I think different when I don't stay in the Word, because I'm not feeding that new my inner, you know, my spirit. So I'm just like, I need to get in that Word. Not I have to. I want to. If I want to grow and stay focused on Christ. So, as deceivers, see, a lot of people say, oh, user, somebody told me last week that was here that they were accusing their new church in town of being a cult because they teach God's grace. That's what I'm saying. They're going to, Satan will try, he wants to shut us up, shame us, blame us, get us to a point just wanting to quit. But we don't got to do that, right? See? We're equipped. So he says, by honor, dishonor, in verse 8, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown. See, Paul wasn't worried about his name being known. Yeah, like me and Mary will say on Facebook, we're not looking for followers in our Bible study, but we want to outreach. We're not in it for the income. We're in it for the outcome, you know, because we're going to get paid at the Bema seat. Man, that's for eternity. That's a great investment. You never waste nothing of your time. Your, if it's finances, whatever it might be, your gifts, talents, investing in eternity. Because God sees everything you go through, everything, the effort that you put in it, but you depend on, you know, like Paul says, he strives with all the power, through the power of God. You know, so we're going to be rewarded for that. Mary's going to sing a song for the pastor later, I think. And it's about that song, I Had a Dream, We Went to Heaven, You Were There With Me, and talks about how unnoticed on here, heaven now proclaims. So don't be discouraged. And also, sometimes, if we don't get around believers, we encourage each other. And sometimes we're kind of out there on our own. And you know, in a war, it's good to have somebody have your back. You know, it's good to get around believers, and especially grace believers. There's nothing like it, being in contact with them. Or even, we got some Facebook friends and at our Bible study group, and they're a real encouragement to me. I know Dwayne, I see you got some of the same friends as me. Joy, the older lady, she's something. She's an older lady, but man, she's got more energy, I think, than me and you put together. But, you know, we need to have that fellowship, and fellowship around the Word and prayer and just encouragement, because everybody's got, you know, I believe there are spiritual gifts, no sign gifts today, but inward gifts. Otherwise, if I didn't think God gifted me, I probably wouldn't come up here and teach. But I depend, but the gift is not to say, hey, look at me, I'm gifted. It's to give away. You're blessed to be a blessing, you know. And you can't brag on it, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives it to you. So some people really have a gift of encouragement, mercy, you know, evangelism. And you say, well, I don't got that gift, so I really don't share too much. You know what you do? You learn from the person with the gift. How do they evangelize? How do they share? And you learn from that. That's why the body of Christ, you build each other up. You know? He says in verse 9, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastised, but not killed. I love this verse, my translation. We get knocked down, but we don't get knocked out. Right? Sometimes life hits you, man. You know, something happens you didn't expect. It's just like somebody come up from the side and just stole on you. And the thing is, sometimes, you know, we get knocked down, but not knocked out. Because what God began in us, He's going to finish. For it's God who works in you, what? Both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Let's go to I'm going to read Jeremiah 32:17, and some of the other verses would have been Philippians 4:11-13 for your notes, and Philippians 4:4-8. But I'm going to read you Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power. How big is your God? Now, I didn't say how big is our idea of him. How big is he? We know from Scripture, right? He's a big God, man. The heavens can't even hold him. I mean, he can just speak forth and create a world. And look at, Jeremiah, he says, and there is nothing too hard for you. Now, people say, none's too hard for God, right? Well, they go to that one verse Jesus said. He was talking about salvation, not God will do anything. God can't lie, right? He says in His word, there's not a man that He should lie. So God can't lie. His character's too holy, right? So when, but he'll do what he's promised us. That's why you rightly divide the word in the body of Christ, right? So this mighty, powerful God, when we're going through things, we can either get focused on the situation, and it gets bigger and bigger, and we get more stressed and, you know, beat up, and or be anxious for none but by prayer. And what's included in that? Make your request known. Prayer and thanksgiving. How can I thank God in the midst of adverse circumstances? God's working all things for your good. And by faith, we live by faith, not sight, and you trust that. And what happens? You get that peace that passes all understanding. So, I got 1 minute. I never get all my verses in. So, ending, I just gave myself a little note at the end. I was going to read Philippians 4:4-8. So I'll just tell you what it is. Be anxious for none, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your mind, your thoughts, your heart, your emotions. So we need to replace stinking thinking with an attitude of gratitude. Yeah, because sometimes we have stinking thinking. You know, when you get saved, you're saved. Your spirit is saved. You're, you know, regenerated. But then our mind kind of needs to get saved. Because you don't automatically start thinking different. Some things you will. You get new desires because you're a new creation, right? But that comes by be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's going to renew your mind? And the word of God that worketh in you, right? The word of God will work in us. So let's stay in the word, but don't let it stop there. The more and more we apply different sound doctrine, truth, to different details in our life, that's how we're going to grow. And we're going to be transformed, and we're going to glorify Christ. And that's the goal, to know Him and to make Him known, right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you what it does in us. You just transform our lives from within. It starts all within. I thank you for the written word that points to us to the living word, your Son Jesus Christ, who's the only way, the only truth, and the only true life. Because life is in Him. And we have resurrection life in Him. Thank you for that free gift. I pray if there's one father that's never trusted in what your Son did, that He died for their sins personally, that He was buried and He rose the third day and He ascended on high. He's seated at your right hand. And I pray that they would trust that He died for their sins, that they would throw away all their pseudo good works, because you said there's none righteous, no, not one. And they would be saved by grace through faith, trusting in what your Son has did, not in themselves, because it's a gift from you, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I pray, Father, they'll make that decision to trust in Christ right now, right where they're at, in the quietness of their heart. And for us, Father, who have done that, I thank you that what you began in us, you're going to finish. I know we get in your ways a lot of times, Father. But I thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray that you just give us a hunger for your word and then a very strong desire to apply it to the details of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. To Christ's glory, amen.